the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
With our Lord's parable today, the connection with what he did this morning for Erica is nice and clear. The seed has been sown. The word of God has entered her heart. He has made a promise that he will bring her through this life, will strengthen her in the one true faith, and will raise her on the last day to everlasting life. That was the seed that was sown. It is an extraordinary gift, one that sometimes we must wait to see the fruit of it. And the fruit may not look like what we think. But when Jesus institutes baptism, you heard the first words, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He continues that sentence saying, "And teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." That is not just speaking about the commandments, the things that saying, don't do this and do this. He is speaking about all the good things. Like, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or things like, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. That seed was sown, and he has instituted that it be watered and be taken care of and paid attention to and lifted up and pruned when necessary. But that is his way of implanting faith, something that we cannot do by ourselves, something with which Erica had to be brought to the Father. That is what our Lord gives. And this seed that was sown actually has its origins, its source in God himself. It's attached to the very first promise of salvation in Genesis. It was spoken after Adam and Eve yielded to the temptations of Satan. The promise was given that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, and that her seed, this offspring, this descendant of this woman, would be opposed to the seeds of Satan, to the teachings, to the false teachers, those who speak that God does not give us enough. But that is what Satan continues to try to do. He tries to sweep away, to pluck, to snatch that word of the gospel out of our hearts. And he seeks to bombard us with the seeds of his lie, foremost being that God is not good, that he is not true, that he lies to us, that he is actually withholding good things from us. So the seeds of doubt are planted alongside the seed of the gospel. Satan is always working to pluck that seed, to destroy it however he can. It is an extraordinary gift that he does not force this seed upon us. If you notice in the parable that he sows the seed, he scatters the seed wherever he can. The word of God, that seed of the woman, can be resisted, can be rejected. It is laid out there, it is planted, but God's word can be refused. It may seem like he's not really interested in planting those seeds. It seems awfully passive of him. I'll just chuck it along and see what happens. But in fact, this is the way the grace of God works. He continues to plant those seeds, to lay them out, to sow his word until the very last breath that you take. Because he wants you and he desires you to trust him and not to be his slave. He wants you to trust him that he is withholding nothing from you. He, unlike Satan, does not try to force himself upon you, does not try to drag you away from the good, the things that are good and everlasting in this world. But instead, he lays it out. We hear in that parable the ways in which the word of God is received. So there is a word of warning here for you and me, a way that we can examine ourselves as we hear the word of God, and especially the gospel of him, Christ, crucified, died, and risen from the dead. When we hear those words, when we hear and consider the Bible, the way in which God speaks to us, we take it and we receive it and we think about it. But when that word is tested, when it's prodded by the doubts and pressures of this world, does that trust wither away? Do the other things seem to have better weight and strength and power to pull you along through each day than God's seemingly weak word? And is that word that falls on the rocks, and since it has no depth, and it was not fed by that same word of God, it has no moisture, it withers away. How it can be saved? A bruised reed he does not break. But he will continue to work on you. So it is something to consider as we receive this word. Do we trust it when we are blessed? Or do we trust it also when things go sideways? Or it seems like God is angry with us, or hurting us, or withholding good things? Do we still stick to his promise? The other side is to examine ourselves when other things threaten, or I should say, other things press in. The anxieties of our frantic daily life can overwhelm our plans, our motivations, our intentions, so that we forget that we live by the word of God alone and by his grace and his mercy. And instead, we try to get the next thing checked off the list, get the next thing done so that food can be on the table, so that we have a roof over our heads, so we have clothes on our back. Just as much the good things can threaten us. We can get content with our own strength and the blessings that God himself has given to us. We find that the blessings are more important than the one who gives us those blessings. It's easy to get comfortable. But it stands, as it always has been and always will, that the only way, the only deliverance from death, from the trouble and anxieties of this world, is through the holy word of God. He has not hidden himself except where he has hidden himself under his word. But we know exactly where he speaks to us, and by how and what means he comes to us. It is actually this that long reading from 1 Corinthians of Paul was talking about. He seemed kind of like he was going a little bit nuts, wasn't he? I always love that reading. It's a little bit weird. Well, he was He was blessed by God. He had been called by God to preach the gospel, and he had been delivered through trials and temptations and stonings and death itself. And he'd been given these revelations to see things and hear things from God that no one else had. So that it would seem that he would be able to trust that, that his head was getting pretty big, that he was starting to bless and find his contentment in the blessings and not the source of those blessings. So that he remembered who he was in relation to God, so that he remembered by whom he received all good things. He was given a thorn, something to pester him and to keep him humble. And a thorn in your side doesn't sound like something small. It sounds like something piercing your vitals. Something that was sapping his strength. From his perspective, maybe it was even stopping him from doing his job of being an apostle and preaching the gospel. And he prayed to God, please take this from me. But God said, nope. You don't need it taken away. The one thing that you need above all else is my favor, my blessing, my forgiveness, and my love. So by that thorn, Paul was reminded day by day that the Lord loved him, that the Lord did not want him to be full and content and perfect every single day, but he wanted him to trust him into eternity. The only one who was reliable was the God of all creation. But still, this is a seemingly weak way in which God saves us. A few words, even words that are repeated over decades. A book made up of 66 books, written in two languages, translated in hundreds of languages. How can that be relied upon? But God himself is behind it, and in it and with it. The seed of the woman is referred to as the Word of God from all eternity. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God himself, one that we cannot see, but accompanies that word, that simple word, is the same Holy Spirit by whom things come into being. The same word that changes hearts and minds, that will raise the dead into everlasting life. The same Spirit accompanies that water with that word this morning. Erica just blinked. Wasn't much that happened, was it? But what you heard was God making a promise to her and reminding you of the promise he makes you in holy baptism. That through this small act, very heaven itself is opened up to you. Eternal life is promised. There is no other gift that we need cling to or seek that can compare to this gift of his word. He planted a seed this morning, a seed that will bear fruit in its good time according to God's plan and purpose, a seed that, though she die, yet she will live. This flesh which must return to the dust from which it came has been promised, has been bound to the very death and resurrection of Christ, so that she will rise on the last day to eternal life, to a body imperishable, to a life that is without pain, without sin, without Satan, without any doubt, without any struggles whatsoever, and only joy into eternity. It is that small thing that happened this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.